It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Shapp, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Shapp.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. In this episode, I sit down with Dr. Mac Moore. Dr. Moore grew up in Arkadelphia, Arkansas, and knew it at a young age that he wanted to be a physician. So his studies, instead of immediately starting in Fayetteville at the University of Arkansas, started in hometown Arkadelphia. I'll let him tell you the story. But he also enjoyed the game of golf, and his father introduced him to the game when he would caddy for him on Saturdays when he would play at the 9-Hole Country Club there, Arkadelphia Country Club. Dr. Moore, growing up, was around friends, and he had a lot of them in Arkadelphia, one of them being Ralph Williams, who is an outstanding golfer in his own right. Both Dr. Moore and Ralph Williams are members of the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame. Well, Dr. Moore, being a physician, was instrumental in creating Arkansas Urology in the Arkansas Prostate Cancer Foundation. He had a vision, and Arkansas Urology has become a leader in the state when it comes to urological care. Dr. Moore has been all over the country and all over the world playing the game of golf. In fact, he was on the Golf Digest rating team at one time and was able to play some of the top 100 courses all over the country. After the break, my interview with Dr. Mac Moore. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, one of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass. Matthew Allen, Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you find a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. Oh, by the way, they have one in Arkadelphia as well, since we're talking a lot about Arkadelphia here with Dr. Moore. But anyway, Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. Find them on the web, bphotels.com. We're back after this. Stay with us. At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels, on the web at bphotels.com.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I enjoyed sitting down with Dr. Mac Moore and hearing his stories of playing the game of golf and where his travels took him to play and the tournaments that he played in. And I think you're going to enjoy it as well. On the tee, Dr. Mac Moore.
Dr. Moore, thanks so much for sitting down with me on this episode of From the Short Grass. You are looking like you could go out and play 18 right now.
Boy, I wish I could.
Well, thanks for inviting me to your home here. I mean, you've got a great view of the Country Club of Little Rock right off number 10, and you get to see the 12th green down 13 fairway and the range and everything. It's just perfect.
I've been in this house since 1975.
Wow. Yeah. So almost 50 years.
Yeah.
What a fantastic golf club.
I love this golf club. I think it's one of the nicest and challenging courses in the South. I've always laughed. I said, if the Country Club of Little Rock was in New York or New Jersey, it'd be a top 100 course.
Yeah.
And I've always felt that way. They do a good job with their maintenance and with making appropriate changes.
Dr. Moore, I think this golf course, when you look at the front side and the views of downtown Little Rock and how it is built up, and then you get on the back side and you play along the Arkansas River and out towards Pinnacle Mountain, and it looks like it's undeveloped. It's almost like a golf course that's in two different parts of the country.
That's a good observation for you to make. It was founded in 1902, and it has so many old rocks out there that for years and years they would try to entice the membership to pick up rocks off the golf course and carry them in to be used somewhere else.
How many of those rocks have you picked up in your time?
Oh, Bob. Hundreds.
A lot?
Or thousands.
When did you first pick up the game of golf?
My dad played golf on the weekends in Arkadelphia. Mm-hmm. We had a 9-hole course, Arkadelphia Country Club. And my dad had a set foursome, and I started caddying for him when I was about 10 or 12 years old. And the other thing that pushed me to golf was my best friends, about six of them, we all took up golf at the same time. Ralph Williams, whom you know, and is a member of the Arkansas Golf Hall of Fame, was one of them. And it was, I knew I wasn't going to be Patrick Mahomes. And so I gravitated to golf because I loved it. Then I became involved in what golf really means.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a opportunity for you to develop a personality that, if you adhere to the rules, it is a very meaningful code for a young man to learn, and golf provided that.
What was it like when you were growing up learning the game? Were you self-taught? Did your father teach you, or did you have the local pro teach you?
We did not have a local pro.
Okay.
So, and we had a 9-hole course. My dad loved golf, but he was not a great player. But there was a gentleman named Nick Carter that had a men's store, and he was a quarterback for Washtenaw University now. And Mr. Nick, as we called him, is in the Arkansas
Sports Hall of Fame.
Sports Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always give us friendly advice. And if we made a putt, he'd put his new ball in the cup. He would encourage you to pick up your ball, but pick up that new ball that he had just put in the cup. So he was a great coach for the at least a half a dozen to a dozen of us that played as early teenagers.
Did Arkadelphia have a golf team back when you were in high school?
They did. We did, and we won our district, and Ralph Williams and I won the Arkansas State team title.
Yeah, you showed me this trophy you have sitting over here, 1955.
1955. That's a few years ago, Trey.
Well, yes, but hey, you get to look at that and think about those memories. What do you remember about that tournament?
We were supposed to play at Riverdale, and Riverdale had a water problem, and we moved it over to Revsman, and we played the tournament at Rebsman.
And this was back in the days before Rebsman was adjusted to the way it is now.
Yeah,
I mean, you're talking tiny greens back then.
Yes.
I mean, I remember Dr. Moore growing up down there before the redo of Rebsman, and there were no bunkers on the course anywhere, but those, we called them postage stamp greens. They were so small. Mm-hmm. How did you navigate that?
Well, it was something that you had to become a good short game player.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's true forever. If you've got a good short game and you watch these pros now at the Phoenix Open or anywhere, you got to be able to get that ball up and down.
No doubt about it.
And that's small greens, and they were hard as my kitchen floor, and they encouraged you to become a good short game player.
College. Did you decide that, okay, here's where I want to go, here's what I want to do, and was golf in the picture?
Well, no. I, as a early teenager, decided I wanted to be a physician. As Mr. Nick Carter was, who I alluded to earlier, was the business manager at Ouachita. And he gave me a scholarship my freshman year at Ouachita. And I thought about that because I planned to go to Fayetteville. But I thought I could save my dad a lot of money by going to school on a scholarship here, and that I could get off to a good start because Ouachita had a wonderful pre-med department. And I have a side of me that I enjoy having a good time, and I knew I could possibly get up to Fayetteville and become immersed in the fraternity parties and so on, and not put the time in studying for medical school as if I would stay here and go to Ouachita. I thought I could get off to a good start. So that was my plan, and that's what happened. And so I went to transferred to Fayetteville my sophomore year, but I was on the golf team, but played in not a whole lot because I had all my chemistry labs and my zoology labs in the afternoon, which conflicted.
Kind of ruins the golf game.
Yeah, exactly. And then of course, as I became an adult and finished medical school and a residency in urology, I became aware that golf had to take a second place to my practice of medicine, and that those were really your good golfing years historically to have. And I worked my tail off practicing medicine and trying to build a practice. Everything worked out pretty well on the schedule that I envisioned. So I just feel so blessed that all that played out.
It's kind of weird that golf gets in the way of work sometimes, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
I've always been told, and I've seen this too, that a bad day of golf beats any good day in the office at any time. Would you agree with that statement?
I would in spades. And I tell you something else. Because I practice medicine and it is very time consuming, I looked forward to when I got a little older and I got interested in senior golf. And I played on the American International Seniors team. We played in Europe and Great Britain and played all over the
world.
Really.
What was that like?
Oh, it was wonderful. I had one stretch of 2 years when I didn't lose a match in our competition, which was about 10 matches over a 2 week period, and I really enjoyed that.
You were a stick.
Well, I used to be a pretty good player, but now I can't hit the ball far enough. It's very humbling when you realize that I wish I still had that short game.
Oh yeah. When you think about the game of golf, and like you said, trying to get the practice going, getting out of residency and having to kind of put it aside for a little bit, and then when you're able to get out there, is it a time for you to just clear your head and get away from everything?
I'm glad you brought that up. I always told people that golf was a lot more fun and a lot cheaper than psychiatry. And that when I got out on the golf course, I was in my own little world out there and could relax and recharge my batteries, so to speak. And that allowed me to and my wife was so encouraging with my golf. She did not get on me for playing too much, but I have been amazed what I've thought back my life, which is I'm now 87 years old.
You're young.
It's played out a whole lot like I envisioned it. I feel blessed that's the way I've gone through life.
I was speaking to someone yesterday and told them that I was coming to interview you today, and they said, "What a man." How does that make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel proud that people would say something like that, but I've always have been, I think golf is a code to live life by. Mm-hmm. It teaches you honesty, character, and discipline, and it is something that you would do worse than playing golf every day.
Yeah, I think you could do a lot worse than playing golf every day. Who are some of, besides Ralph Williams, who are some of the guys that you like to play with and compete with?
Dan Snyder is a great friend of mine. I took a lot of lessons from Dan, and he's been a real influence in my golf game. At the country club, we had a group of low handicap players that I played with, and that was a fun time. So it's been a big part of my life, and then I have good friends who have taken me places I would have never been able to have gone to otherwise.
It's kind of hard, or maybe kind of neat, when you sit back and think about little old boy from Arkadelphia, Arkansas, and the places you've been.
Absolutely. And my wife, I give her credit. She says her friends would say, "Barbara, don't you get tired of Mac going on all these golf trips? You go on the golf trips with him?" And she said, "No, I've never had a problem going to a golf tournament with Mac, because I've never been to a tournament that wasn't at a nice place and where you were treated like royalty."
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You were telling me earlier, before we started recording, that Monk Wade, who used to be the executive director of the Arkansas State Golf Association, asked you if you wanted to help rate golf courses.
Right. Golf Digest was the premier golf magazine at the time, about 35 or 40 years ago when it started publication. And Monk asked me if I would be on the national rating team for Golf Digest here in Arkansas. And I became the team rating captain and played all over the world as a rater for golf courses. And that was just a privilege that was allowed you to play just about anywhere you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had to approve it, and you had to call in advance, and they had a strict rule of conduct. But if you did all those things, you got to play these golf courses that you now read about in Golf Digest or you see on television and you watch the big tournaments. Well, those courses were courses that I've played personally and loved. I've been privileged to play at Augusta National a number of times, and it is an unforgettable experience.
Really? What is it like? I mean, I've been there for a practice round of the Masters tournament, but not there outside of that. But when you go in as a guest of a member and get to play there, what is that experience like?
It's like none other, and it is an experience that you think everybody that's ever been a golfer in the true sense has wanted to play Augusta National. And everybody that has been a champion has played it. So it's an opportunity to do what a small group of great champions have been able to do.
Best score there?
Best score there, I've shot even par.
Whoa! Yeah, you're a stick. I wish I would have had you on my team some of these times, some of these amateur tournaments I've been playing in.
I've only had one round at Augusta that I have played without a three-putt. It was the most difficult course to read the pace of those greens.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before the rest of the country is really caught up with the agronomy of golf. And there are good golf greens at Pleasant Valley and the Blessings, Country Club of Little Rock. But growing up and 50 years ago, that was not true.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the PGA Tour champions coming to Pleasant Valley in October?
I think that is wonderful. I think that will be a shot in the arm for golf and for Little Rock, for Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
and for golf in general. It will show to the tour the excellence that Little Rock enjoys and Arkansas enjoys.
I know that HIPAA, you don't have to worry about that now because you're retired. So you don't have to worry about patients' rights and confidentiality. But did you ever have a patient come into your office and all of a sudden you guys start talking about a diagnosis or something and the talk turn to the game of golf?
That has happened more than once, I can assure you. People love to talk golf, myself included.
Some of the best stories come from the golf course.
Yeah,
in life,
that's
don't
true.
They?
Absolutely.
Best golf course you've ever played?
I think the most enjoyable course I've played has been Cypress Point. It's a shorter course, but the views of that golf course, the Monterey Peninsula, are just almost beyond belief. And one great author, Robert Louis Stevens, says it's the most dramatic meeting of land and sea in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an accurate and beautiful description of it.
All right, Dr. Moore, three other golfers living or deceased, that you could play a fantasy foursome, a round of golf, who would they be?
Oh, it'd be my dad and Ben Hogan, and it would be Tommy Stovall, Dan Snyder, Bill Dillard, Ed Willis. There's just so many.
It's going to be a group.
Yeah, it would be a groupsome.
Yeah, groupsome. I like that terminology. Some courses allow groupsomes, some courses don't.
We have a tradition here at the country club where you can play a gripesome, and that's as many as 8 to 12 players, and the only rule is you've got to keep your pace up with the rest of the golf course.
Have you done that before?
Oh, yes.
And you kept your pace up?
Yes.
How many? What's the most you had in a gripesome?
Oh, 15 players.
Holy cow. All in your own individual cart, probably.
All in our own individual carts. Of course, you'd play ready golf.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that was let you move along is after you putted, you started walking towards or driving towards the next tee. And so it worked at a very rapid pace, and it was just incredible fun.
Seems to me like that would kind of, I mean, that would be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
How that unfolds.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to talk to you about. You talked about earlier about you decided, oh, I'm going to go to Wichita because I don't want to get involved in the fraternity. You like to have fun and everything. And I understand that you like to joke, too, a little bit. And maybe that came out at a young age. I read a story where you and your mother went to the post office in Arkadelphia at a very young age and found out that your dad was going to have to go serve in World War II. And she was all out of shape over it. And you said,
my mother started crying. And I said, Mother, what's wrong? And she said, well, your father is going to have to serve in World War II. And I said, don't cry, Mother. Maybe the Germans won't kill him.
And her response was?
She was able to dry her tears.
Wow. Dr. Moore, thanks so much for the time.
It's been a pleasure.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
That will just about do it for this edition of From the Shortgrass. We are almost out of time. Dr. Moore, when I asked him about the Simmons Bank Championship, the PGA Tour Champions stop that is coming to Pleasant Valley Country Club in Little Rock, Arkansas, he seemed very excited about it, thought it was good for the game of golf and Central Arkansas and the state as a whole. We're going to have more information coming up on how you can volunteer and be a part of that championship in our next episode. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.